This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett.
And I'm Gene Purcell. Some of you might be thinking about giving a pet as a surprise gift this holiday season. Well, later in the hour, we'll hear why that might not be the best idea.
But first, the Food and Drug Administration established a new policy yesterday that places restrictions on the use of antibiotics in livestock.
The new rules are being called a major shift for national food policy, and they limit farmers to using antibiotics only for medical purposes and not to enhance the size of animals.
The change is the result of a concern that indiscriminate use of the drugs in animals is creating more antibiotic-resistant diseases in humans. Well, here with us to talk about the move is Dan Schaefer. He's professor and chair of the Animal Science Department at UW-Madison. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So when did farmers begin using antibiotics, not just to treat illnesses, but as a general matter of course for livestock?
Well, I'm not totally up to date on the history of the use of the antibiotics, but I would say that the widespread use of antibiotics began to occur in the 1960s.
And what's the concept there? If an animal's not sick, why are we giving them low levels of antibiotics?
Well, there was a recognition that antibiotic administration had a growth-promoting effect. And at that time, there was a search, really, for all kinds of technologies that would enhance growth promotion in livestock.
And do they, in fact, make bigger animals? And how much of a difference do they make?
The improvements, actually, I have to say that I've never done an experiment with antibiotic use for purposes of growth promotion, at least never the use of an antibiotic that has medicinal applications. From the literature, I would say that the improvements in average daily gain are on the order of 3 to 6%.
Okay, and if you're looking at maybe tight profit margins of a farmer, that's not nothing.
It's not nothing. That's correct. It's something that would attract attention.
So the antibiotics used, are some of them at least the same ones that we might be prescribed when we go to a doctor's office?
Yes, that is the case. And those antibiotics that are affected by this policy are those that could also have a human application.
And the concern, as we mentioned, and as I gather from the FDA, is that we've got this wider spread problem of diseases that are resistant to antibiotics. They're worried here that part of the reason we're seeing those is this use of antibiotics in animals. Is there that strong connection? Do we know that yet?
Not really. I can recall an article in 1988 that claimed to have the smoking gun for connecting antibiotic administration to animals to a human illness an antibiotic-resistant organism and human illness. And it just wasn't really very clear cut at all. It's a very complicated picture to assemble in a forensic kind of way.
And do the antibiotics show up in the meat we might get at the butcher at our local grocery?
No, because FDA would ask any vendor of an antibiotic that's used in food animal production to have assessed the occurrence and the level of tissue residues, and then FDA would have imposed on the use of that product a withdrawal time, during which time the animal may not be fed that product so that those residues which might be in the tissues are depleted.
And are there any downsides that you know of to using these antibiotics, either for the animals that are proven, I guess, so far, for the animals or for the people that eat them or drink the dairy products, say?
Are there any downsides?
Like proven health impacts for animals or humans?
Proven health impacts. I'm not exactly sure how to answer that question. There are, as I said, the connection between use of these products in livestock production to human antibiotic-resistant organisms is just not clear. Mm. And in terms of animals, obviously, in addition to the development of antibiotic-resistant organisms, animals also get sick. And so for those animals that are sick, we do want to have antibiotics available to treat those illnesses, though we also don't want the use of antibiotics to compromise human health. Even though that linkage is fuzzy, I would interpret the FDA policy to be an implementation of something like a hurdle strategy. That is, you could imagine that if one wants to win a race, one has to get over a number of hurdles. And obviously, you can win the race faster if you don't have to cross any hurdles. So putting a hurdle in place just introduces a step in the process that needs to be, that is intended to delay, in this case, the development of antibiotic resistance.
So let's look at the changes that the FDA is implementing here. How would it affect a livestock farmer? What would change in their daily business?
All right. It should be understood that the widespread use of antibiotics for the purposes of growth promotion is not a common practice. What the FDA is doing is to ensure that there is not long-term low-dosage administration really under any circumstance other than that which is overseen by a veterinarian. With regards to the impact on a farmer, I am most familiar with beef cattle nutrition. I have a reasonable familiarity with dairy cattle nutrition, less so for chickens and less so for pigs. But I would say the impact of this policy is not really going to affect in a negative way those livestock production operations that are well managed, because the technology is not presently being used. There are antibiotics being used in livestock production, beef and dairy, but those are not antibiotics that have human medicinal applications.
And to dig deeper into that law, those antibiotics that aren't used in humans, mm-hmm. farmers could still use those, correct me if I'm wrong, on a regular basis, not just medicinally. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So there's, for instance, the classic antibiotic is an antibiotic by the name of Menensin. Menensin serves to alter the nature of the organic acids produced by the rumen fermentation. And it's a product that's approved for use in beef cattle and dairy cattle. It has no connection with a human medical application, and so its continued use in beef and dairy diets will happen.
But if a farmer now wants to use something that is used in humans, I'm not sure which, maybe I could ask you that later, which ones are used, would they need to go and get a prescription now from a veterinarian before being able to use those?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. Examples of antibiotics that are governed by this policy would be tetracyclines, sulfonamides, and others that I could look at on my list here if you really want to know the full list.
Maybe we could dig deeper a little bit after the news break. But why now, do you think? Why did the FDA decide to pass this ban now if we're not sure of the link between the use of these antibiotics and antibiotic-resistant diseases in humans?
Yep, very good. I would say that all pharmaceutical companies that have been selling antibiotics have known for themselves that the door was closing on widespread use of those antibiotics. Because of public concern, because of the development of the multi-drug resistant organisms, especially noticed in human hospital infections. And so I think this is just another step in ensuring the public that their food supply is safe.
We're speaking with UW animal science professor Dan Schaefer. We're talking about new FDA guidelines announced this week on how we use antibiotics in livestock.
And we'd like to hear from you, too, your thoughts and questions. Are you aware of the new restrictions on antibiotics in livestock? Are you concerned by antibiotic-resistant diseases in humans? Are you in the livestock business? What do you think about this new policy? Join in the discussion. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email at talk@wpr.org. I'm Gene Purcell.
and I'm Rob Verrett. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in for Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferrer. We continue our discussion now with Dan Schaefer. He's professor and chair of the Animal Science Department at UW-Madison. We're talking about a new effort by the FDA to limit the use of certain antibiotics in livestock.
And we'd like to hear what you think, too. Of course, the food supply is something people think an awful lot about these days. What do you think or what do you know about these new restrictions on antibiotic usage in livestock? Give us a call. Join in the discussion. Here's our phone number. It's 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us an email. That address is talk@WPR.org.
And we'll go right to our callers. We've got Alan on the line in Rolling Ground. Alan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
What did you want to bring up?
I grew up on a dairy farm, and I just wanted to announce it. The news and media and whatnot is saying in a bold statement that it's going that they want to make it illegal for antibiotics to be used in the animals, particularly cattle, in general. Most of the news headings that I've seen don't specify any particular antibiotics or other drug. And I look at it in a couple of different ways. Number one, if we are not allowed to give antibiotics to our animals, I'm more referring to cows, then when they get pneumonia or diarrhea or something, they will die from that without the use of antibiotics. When they get pink eye, that will make them blind in a very quick time, which will in turn cause them to eat less and produce less and eventually greatly depreciate their health. And if we allow that, then we as farmers are opened up to lawsuits by animal activists for not taking care of our animals.
Alan, I wanted to make the distinction between regular use of antibiotics, which is, even for non-sick animals, and the use of it for sick animals. Do you use it on a daily basis, even for animals that aren't sick, or just as needed?
There's some that we would use in the springtime to help inoculate against pneumonia when it's real prevalent, especially in the herd. And then it was also my understanding growing up on a dairy farm that if our cows were not did not have certain vaccines, that we were not allowed to sell our milk.
Gotcha. Thanks for the call, Alan. So a lot wrapped up there. Vaccines are not part of the discussion here, right, Dan?
That is correct.
Okay, but and under the new regulations, what Alan was talking about, an animal is sick, he'd still be allowed to use antibiotics there.
Yes, that's correct. I think Alan started by saying that the news head, well, anyway, that there were headlines that were using the word antibiotic in a very general mm-hmm. way, and that would not be an accurate characterization of the FDA policy. The FDA policy applies to those antibiotics that are used for human medical purposes, and the restrictions imposed are that they could now not be used without a veterinary prescription.
Mm-hmm. So if Alan needed one of those as a cattle farmer, as a dairy farmer, he could get a prescription from a veterinarian or use one of the other antibiotics.
Yes, that's correct. And the veterinarians, in fact, according to the FDA policy, need to adhere to 5 different criteria before they're really permitted to write a prescription for that antibiotic, meaning that there's no other good alternative, that the disease is caused by a bacterial organism, and that the use of that antibiotic will be effective in controlling that disease. I mean, all, I would say, reasonable, responsible criteria which still would allow Alan to have access to these pharmaceutical aids to control disease and maintain welfare of his animals.
In some of the reporting I've seen and some accusations from industry critics, there's an idea that the way animals are raised, housed, and treated makes the industry have to use more antibiotics. If we had different conditions for the animals, we could use fewer antibiotics. Is there something to that?
Yes, I'm aware of that accusation. That would fall in the same category as the overgeneralization of the use of the term antibiotic. It's an overgeneralization that simply isn't a well-informed perspective. Do animals get sick? Yes. Is it because they're overcrowded? No, not necessarily. It can occur in that way, but we go through weather changes, seasonal changes in weather, and Alan mentioned springtime, and when we transition through the spring season, we do have a higher incidence of respiratory disease in animals. So I just would say, no, it's not a well-informed perspective.
But you mentioned earlier responsible, well-managed farms. It's conceivable that a less responsible, less well-managed operation could have overcrowding and that would make disease more likely?
Yes, that's true. And at this point, these products, these antibiotic or feed-grade antibiotics could be available for use by such an operation to control the absence of really top-level management.
Go back to our callers now. We have Carrie with us in Wauwatosa. Carrie, hi. You're on the air.
Hello. At the risk of sounding like a panic monger, the more I learn about the food supply, and particularly the meats and the dairy products that we ingest every day, the more afraid of it I become. And Mr. Schaefer mentioned that the increase in growth from these antibiotics that the FDA is saying we shouldn't be putting into our animal's feed. It's 3 to 6%.
Yes.
Given how prevalent antibiotic-resistant organisms have become in humans because of the overuse of antibiotics, why on earth, for a 3 to 6% increase, would we want to continue putting unnecessary antibiotics into our animals? We don't do that with our children. Mm-hmm. You know, doctors nowadays are very, very cautious. If your child has recurrent ear infections, they're very cautious to not overprescribe antibiotics.
Thanks for the call, Carrie. So is this a wise decision by the FDA? Even if the complete chain isn't there, the risk that this could contribute to antibiotic resistance makes it worth what the FDA is doing.
Well, it was a judgment decision on the part of FDA, and yes, as I indicated earlier, this is one of the hurdles along the way to try and reduce the likelihood of development of antibiotic-resistant organisms that are of importance to humans. With regards to the caller's question, I was answering the question, what is the benefit from the use of these antibiotics? That is not to say that is a benefit that is sought by all, nor is it. You know, we've come a long way since the early days when these antibiotic research trials were conducted, and our animals are a lot more productive. There is a widespread knowledge among the food-producing population about concern for antibiotics, and so I would just want to reassure the caller that, as I said earlier, this is not a widespread practice among well-managed operations. And well-managed operations can occur as small operations, and they can occur as huge operations. The attention to management is not correlated with size of the operation.
So looking ahead with these new guidelines, these new rules from the FDA, it sounds like you're saying this is really not going to rock the livestock world all that much.
No, that is a correct interpretation. This will not rock the livestock world. And all along, or certainly in the last 6 to 8 years, those consumers who have wanted to avoid production systems that have included the use of antibiotics and hormones have been able to buy natural, so-called natural products. Natural products are produced without the use of those technologies. They cost more. They need to cost more. because there are outlier animals, even in naturally produced food production systems, that do get sick, and those animals fall out of that production system, and then they go into the mainstream production system. So consumers have a choice in the marketplace, and the implementation of this policy is not going to rock the boat. Among the well-managed operations, this is no big deal.
Dan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That's Dan Schaefer. He's professor and chair of the Animal Science Department at UW-Madison.